It was the end of the year, and this pastor stood before his congregation and informed them that the church's monetary reserves had gotten a little low. They didn't have enough money to pay their bills. And so he asked the congregation if they would help out, if they would dig a little deeper, put a little more in the offering plate today so that the church could pay its bills. And as an incentive, the preacher said that whoever gave the most today would be given the opportunity to pick 3 hymns. Yay. So the offering plates were passed around and then brought back, and the pastor looked down at him, and he couldn't help but see that someone had placed in the offering plate a $1,000 bill, and he was very excited about this. So he immediately shared his joy with the congregation and asked that whoever gave that $1,000, please, please come down. Well, in the back there was this, we'll say, an older lady, very saintly, and she raised her hand because she had put the $1,000 in the plate, and he told her to come down, and so she shyly, slowly made her way to the front, and he was thanking her so much, and he said, look, and I promised you that you could pick 3 hymns, so do it. She looks out over the congregation, and she points at the 3 most handsome men there and says, I pick him, him, and him. Now, pastors have got to be careful when they talk about money. We don't want to turn people off. We don't want to perpetuate that stereotype of the money-grubbing church. I don't want to ever hear anyone say, that preacher, all he talks about is money. And you know, I don't talk about it much, but today's your lucky day. Some of this caution that I have is based on the fact that there are indeed some churches that are actually small businesses and that are owned by the pastor and their spouse. And any profits from the church go into their pockets. And the more the donations, the greater their income. So it becomes in their best interest to encourage giving. Fortunately, and thank you, Lord, that's not the case here in this church. This church, this congregation is overseen by a session with the financial committee, and my salary is set. Our finances are as transparent as we can make them. Our budget is available for any of you to see. Your individual giving is kept confidential, of course, that is confidential. But everything else is open for review. And if you want to know how much we spent on, coffee last month, call the office. She'll tell you. I got another story for you. Another church story. And in this church, there was a man in the congregation who had a pretty severe heart condition. And he inherited $10 million, but his family were afraid to tell him because the news they thought might kill him. So they gave the pastor the job of going to him and telling him about his inheritance. So the pastor goes to the man's house and they sit down in the living room, and the pastor says, Joe, what would you do if you inherited $10 million? Joe thought for a moment. He says, well, pastor, I'd give half to the church. And the pastor died. Y'all laugh a lot more than the early service. That's it was early, okay. Our scripture reading today comes to us from the Gospel of Mark. And the story takes place in Jerusalem on the grounds of the Temple Mount. Now, the temple is not just a single building. It's, in fact, a sprawling campus. And one location on this campus was the treasury, where the valuables of the temple were stored. The temple, the treasury, was also that place where the faithful would bring their monetary offerings. You would go to the treasury to give. It would seem that the treasury was also a very popular place for people watching. You know, specifically watching those people who were coming to present their offerings and gifts. And this is exactly what Jesus and his disciples in our reading are doing. They're people watching. We read, Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Now, among those making their offerings, there were rich people who deposited large sums. Yay, them. We like them. But how do we know these were large sums? Probably by the sound. Because in those days, there were no checks or paper money. It was all coins. And coins make noise, especially when dropped into a large ceramic or metal container. It's also possible that some of the rich people that Jesus was watching were making a spectacle of giving their money by slowly pouring out their coins into the treasury with as much fanfare and noise as possible. After all, there were people watching, and what's the point of being rich if you can't show it off to the world? So Jesus and the guys are sitting there watching this parade of patrons when a woman approaches. And she's identified to us only as a poor widow. She goes up to the treasury and she places two small copper coins, worth ridiculously little, into the treasury. And I imagine that when the disciples heard the pathetic sound of those two little coins, now, they probably snickered a bit. But Jesus said to them, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those others, rich or poor, that are contributing to the treasury. Now, I'm sure the disciples looked at him with some skepticism. I mean, come on, what he says doesn't make sense. The woman only put in two lepta. And lepta were the smallest value coin in circulation in Judea. Mark helps us out here for those of us who are not familiar with Judean currency. He says, now, two lepta are worth a quadrin. Well, okay, a quadrin was the smallest coin in the Roman currency, and everybody knew what a quadrin was. It was pocket change. Jesus goes on to explain his counterintuitive economics by telling his disciples, all the wealthy people have contributed out of their riches, but she, out of her poverty, she's given everything, all that she has to live on. And to be honest, when we look at it, what the woman does is, financially speaking, extremely unwise. It borders on irresponsible. We don't know her story. We're only told that she's a widow and that she is poor. She could have been very old or she could have been young. We don't know how old. Either way, as a widow, she was part of an extremely vulnerable population of people. As a widow without a husband, she was financially dependent on friends and family for support. There were no social safety nets available to her. And yet she comes to the temple. She comes to the treasury. And she gives to God all she has. All she has to live on. She gives everything. And that is Jesus' lesson to his disciples here. While we are impressed by large, extravagant gifts, God cares less for that, but more that we give of our hearts. For example, if someone has $2 million and they give away $1 million, I mean, that's a generous thing to do, but they're not going to suffer from that. They will survive. They've given out of their wealth. They've given out of their abundance, and they keep plenty back for themselves. The woman's two coins may not sound like much to us, but I'm sure they were valuable to her. They may have allowed her for one more meal or loaf of bread. Jesus lifts up this woman for his disciples and for us because of all the people there. She is unique. She acts differently than everybody else who came to the treasury that day. She doesn't give more than the wealthy people, but she put in more than all those people contributing to the treasury. She acts without limits. She hasn't done that familiar calculus, we all know it, where we figure out, okay, how much have I got? How much am I going to need? How much have I got left over from that? And, okay, how much then can I give to God? She gives without limits. She doesn't hold back. She gives all. Now, financially, what she does is foolish. But spiritually, it does reveal how rich she is. And that is how we, as people of faith, should seek to live our lives. When it comes to our relationship with God, we should live without limits. We should love without limits. We should give without limits. It's time for another story. This one takes place on a Sunday night at a Baptist church, and if you know the Baptist church, that's the night for testimonies. And in the church, there was a very well-dressed local businessman who said, "You know, when I was a young man, I came to this church. And when I came, I was down and out. I only had $10 in my pocket. I had nowhere to live. I was hungry. But the sermon I heard at this church, it so inspired me that I took that $10 bill, all that I had, and I put it in the offering plate. I gave everything to God that night. And because of that, God has blessed me with abundance. And now I am a wealthy man, all because I gave everything I had to God." There was a woman behind him. She reached over, tugged on his sleeve, and said, "I dare you to do it again." Here at First Presbyterian Church, as Michael mentioned, we are in the season of stewardship, and you have all received your letter in the mail with a pledge card for 2022, and we would like to get those back, if possible, by December 5th. Why do we have this practice of pledges? Well, first of all, pledges help the session and the financial committee better plan for the coming year. Pledges give them an approximation of the church's income for 2022. But another reason, and really the greater reason for pledges, is that pledging is a discipline of commitment. This year, in 2021, we're asking you to pledge. And when you do so, you are saying that you commit so many dollars to God in the future. You're not waiting until next year and then calculate how much you've got left over. No. You're making that commitment now. And in doing so, well, you're acting like the widow. You're giving without the certainty of how the future will unfold for you. You're giving on faith. And by pledging in this manner, you are placing God before everything else in your life. You don't know what's going to happen, but you are making that pledge to God now. And like the widow, you are spiritually rich. It would be perfect if every household pledged. Our goal, as Michael mentioned, is 35 households. And I pray that your households will be one of those 35 or more. And we, on December 5th, we will gather all our pledges and we will offer a prayer and a blessing and dedicate them. One more story. The preacher had been preaching on and on and on. And you don't know what that's like, I'm sure. And as he dragged on and as he droned on, there was a little girl out in the congregation, and she was getting a little bored and a little restless. And she leaned over to her mother and she whispered, "Mommy, if we give him the money now, will he let us go?" Amen.